This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Hillsboro High School. We hope you enjoyed our first game of the evening on WSMI. And now get set for some more South Central Conference action, as it will be the Litchfield Purple Panthers in search of their first win of the season as they journey down Route 16 to Hillsboro to take on the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, who are 2-6. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk, and neither team playing for the playoffs, but both teams playing for pride.
Absolutely. And when you get these two teams together, you know, oftentimes we know Litchfield's had kind of a tough year this year, and Hillsboro's not quite met the expectations they were hoping to. But this is one of those years you can just kind of throw the records out the window. It's a Montgomery County matchup, and the kids, it's a fun, friendly rivalry, and I'm sure we'll see a good game.
Drew Hartzell is set to kick off. Looks like back deep is Caden Lemon to receive. And it'll be a low line drive kick. It'll come down to Lemon on about the 15-yard line. He'll circle around to his right. He finds a seam. He heads down the 40 to the 50. He's across midfield and finally going to be brought down all the way down at the 35-yard line of Litchfield. Outstanding run by Lemon to start this one off.
That was freshman Drew Hartzell on the tackle for the Panthers. Drew Hartzell has started both ways all season long as a freshman at running back and middle linebacker, which is a tough assignment for a kid any age. But he's really hung in there and hung tight. He's played every game and stayed healthy and made a great tackle there on a hard kid to tackle, Caden Lemon.
Landon Carroll will bring the troops up. They'll set up in their familiar triple I. Colton Kaiser will be the up back. The middle back will be Jonah Harkins. And the tailback is going to get the handoff, Liam Dugan. And Dugan goes off left tackle, and he just keeps on going inside the 20, inside the 15. He's going to be run out of bounds inside the 10, and a penalty flag comes down. Outstanding run there by the tailback, Liam Dugan.
You know, Gary, I think we might see kind of a rarely called but always yelled at the TV call. Liam Dugan, I think, had a pretty good handful of face mask on his stiff arm. You know, how many times you yell at the TV about that? Call it both ways, and I think maybe this time they're going to call it both ways.
Yeah, if the defense gets a hand in the face mask, and the face mask gets very illegal, but when the offense does it, they let it happen. Now we'll see as the referee brings the call over to us. It's going to be personal foul, face mask, and it will go against the offense. So the flag went down at about the 8-yard line, but they're going to walk it back and bring it back to the 23-yard line. That's still going to be a gain of 12, going to be enough for a first down for the Toppers. So they will be heading from north to south, decked out in their white or their black over black uniforms with the white numerals, the black bonnets. Again, it'll be Harkins in the mid-back position, Dugan in the tailback. Colton Kaiser sits up at the fullback position right behind the quarterback. Carroll takes the snap. It'll be a toss to the tailback, Dugan, who's going to go around right in this time. He's going to be driven out of bounds over there at about the 10-yard line. So it's going to be a gain of another 13 and another first and 10 for the Toppers. Run left, run right. Either way, they've been successful.
Gary, that run takes us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone. Powered by Seavers Equipment. Score big with Case IH at Seavers Equipment. That is SeaversEquipment.com.
From the 11, it'll be a first and 10 for the Toppers. We're just underway, 30 seconds into this one. This time they'll go to the second back, Harkins, and Harkins is going to find the going a little bit tougher there. So he's going to be brought down by Jefferson Thomas for little or no gain. Let's call it second and 10. Ball still resting on the 11.
Jefferson Thomas has been a real bright spot for the Panthers this season on the defensive side of the ball. Really a presence over there that needs to be accounted for when attempting to run the ball up the middle.
Carroll comes to the line as he's checking his wristband to find the play. And that triple stacked eye to Dugan, they'll go. Dugan finds a hole on the right side. Off tackle he goes, and he burrows his way in to the end zone. Liam Dugan, he did most of the carrying on that drive, and he deserved the honor to take it into the end zone, and indeed he does. Dugan in from 11 yards out for our first score of the evening.
Looks like Coach Steph's going to leave the offense on the field here for the conversion.
Indeed, they will go for two. And they'll set up in the same formation they've been in all night. They'll go back and do a little throwing here as they look to get the pass off to, I believe that's the big guy over there, Jordan Gregg. And Jordan Gregg makes the catch for the two-point conversion. So here in the early going at the 10:47 mark of the first quarter, it is the Hillsboro Hilltoppers who strike first, and they lead 8-0. Back with the topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Picked up 8 points as Liam Dugan with the 11-yard touchdown run. And then Carroll to Jordan Gregg for the two-point conversion on the point after. Now the kickoff goes out of bounds after it was touched by one of the Purple Panthers, so it will not be an illegal kick, but they'll get it to where it went out of bounds, and that's going to be at about the 22.
Kind of an awkward kick coming off Jordan Gregg's foot. Really kind of a little swanky off to the left there, spinning sideways.
Blaine Stewart wasn't sure whether he wanted to grab that or not. Then he realized, hey, I better, or they can get it. He stuck a hand out. It hit his hand, and therefore it's not an illegal kick and goes out of bounds at the 22. And there the Panthers will start. They'll come out in an I formation with wide receivers left and right. Hand off to the tailback. Not a whole lot going there as he's met by a swarm of toppers and brought down, maybe got back to the line of scrimmage. Not much more than that. And on the carry was?
I believe it's Drew Hartzell.
Looks like Drew Hartzell.
I believe it's Drew Hartzell.
Okay.
Oh, they're going to give him a 1 yard gain on that.
That'll be generous there. From the 23, let's call it second and 9. Well, he definitely earned it as he had a pile of toppers all over him. As it looks like that's Hartzell back there in the tailback position once again. As they're in the pistol, he drops the handoff. It goes to the ground, and I'm not sure who recovered that. We shall see. They're going to give it to the Panthers. They dodged the bullet there. Going to be a loss on the play back to the 22, so we'll call it third and 9, but it could have been a lot worse.
It really could have. It was junior Dylan Maxwell that got up and handed the ball back to the official, so guard for the Panthers with a heads-up play there to maintain possession.
So now a potential passing situation for the Panthers from the 22, third and 10. Clayton Walsh has one back beside him in the backfield. He'll drop back. Look. Now he'll drop, stop, and throw. It's going to be intercepted by Dylan McCamick. McCamick makes the interception at about the 40-yard line, and he keeps right on going down the left sideline, and they won't catch him today as Dylan McCormick is into the end zone for the touchdown on the INT. That's McCamick.
That was, Dylan McCamick. And Blaine Stewart, I believe, was the receiver that Walsh was throwing to, just overthrew him a little bit. Stewart went up to try to get the ball, but him not being able to get it, it fell right into McCamick's hands from a safety position.
And so with 9:12 to go here in the first quarter, the Toppers score for the second time tonight, once with the offense, this time with the defense. Dylan McCamick, I'm going to give him 35 yards on that interception. Now they'll look to go for two, and on the little quick slant-in pass to Caden Lemon, it is good. And so just like that, the Toppers have scored twice, and they've converted two-point conversions, and they take a 16-0 lead as we take this break. You're listening to WSMI. Two-point conversion went Carroll to Lemon. 16-0 is the Topper lead as Greg is going to kick this one off. It's kind of another weird spiraling kick. Comes down on about the 15-yard line. Right up the middle with it goes Drew Hartzell. And Hartzell gets a good run back there as he gets the ball out over the 40 to the 42-yard line. Willman in on the tackle for the Toppers. And so following the interception for the touchdown by McCamick, the Panthers going to go to the line of scrimmage and see if they can get something positive going here. So it'll be a first and 10 from the 42. They'll send a man in motion, and that's Alex Fisher. He'll give the ball off and run on the left side as that was Hartzell once again. Or no, excuse me, that was Fisher coming back as he gets the ball up to about the 45. So let's give Fisher a gain of 3, call it second and 7 as he went in motion, came back, took the handoff, went off the left side for 3 tough yards.
Off the corner of the line of scrimmage, he had a little bit of daylight there, but the Toppers did a really nice job of closing that space down and very quickly had 3 to 4 tacklers there to meet Fisher for the tackle.
Stewart and Fisher, the wideouts over to this side. Walsh has one back in the backfield with him as he's in a pistol formation. 2 wide left, 2 wide right. They'll give the ball off to the only back in the backfield, and that was Jefferson Thomas. And Thomas gets maybe 1 yard as he'll get up to about the 46, and that'll bring up a 3rd and 6.
The old spread the field out. They really tried to spread out the Toppers there and then run that big Jefferson Thomas weighing in tonight at 215 pounds. Tried to send him right up the middle, but Mr. Jordan Gregg was there with a little bit of weight himself to meet that challenge.
Good matchup between two outstanding athletes there. Going to bring up 3rd and about 6. They'll go to the same formation. 2 spread out to the right, 2 spread out to the left. Walsh going to drop back. Now he's going to be fleshed out of the pocket. He'll roll over here to the right, and he'll finally run out of bounds, and he'll be driven out there at about the 43 for a loss of 3. Going to be punt time for the Purple Panthers.
A couple times Clayton pulled the ball down and tried to get to a receiver, but both times I think he wisely pulled it back down. It was Colin Becker, a freshman receiver, that was out in route, very well covered. He had Caden Lemon was over the top of him. Defending underneath was who did we have there? Number 12. Had in there. Oh, Jace Teakin. Jace Teakin was covering underneath, so very well covered, and Walsh did a nice job of just pulling her down. And
Teakin, a lanky sophomore, 6'3", 175 pounds. They're going to go for it on 4th down, 4th and 8. They'll pass over the middle, and it was almost completed in and out of the hands of the intended receiver there.
It's Nathan White. Nathan White listed as a tight end. Clayton Walsh, very nice pass.
Yes, it was.
Very nice pass to hit him on the post pattern.
Hit him right in the hands, and it went right through the hands as he just couldn't handle it. So as a result, on down, the Purple Panthers will give the ball up. Toppers will get it back. They're leading 16-0, and they'll scrimmage from their Litchfield 44-yard line as they're heading south once again. 16-0 is the Topper lead. They're looking for some more. They'll do a little toss sweep and a little razzle-dazzle here as Dugan came around that time and was looking for the receiver, Lemon, and he just overthrows him, but the old halfback pass did not quite work, and it'll bring up a 2nd and 10.
Liam Dugan took that, and that's a very similar play. Remember here, we had them at Gillespie. They ran that exact same play, and again, did not complete it. They could have gone up 3 touchdowns right at the end of the first half with that play, and it's one that they've had very good success getting the guy open, just not as much success completing it.
Dugan's going to become the split receiver over here. He'll be a backside blocker as they'll give the ball off to Lemon. Lemon's going to turn the corner on the left side. He'll find an opening, and he'll scoot down inside the 40, inside the 35. He's close to a first down. They'll mark it at the 33. 1st and 10 for the Toppers as they needed 10, picked up 11.
Dylan Maxwell running side to side from his middle linebacker position, doing a nice job of running down Caden Lemon. Caden going to be, I think, used quite sparingly tonight. Had a little bit of an injury problem in the pain of game, and it seems like Coach Duff's trying to get him in there and checking with him now. I'm sure it's a play-by-play, how you doing, how you feeling kind of thing. And if I know Caden Lemon, he's saying, Coach, I'm fine.
1st and 10 Toppers, and they'll go off of the right tackle. And on the carry, there'll be another 10-yard gain as Jonah Harkins on the carry just simply utilizes the big blocking of the right side, Tanner Mullen up there along with Baron Floyd for the Toppers, and it's another first and 10. They've moved the ball all the way down to the 22 of Litchfield. We're at 6:35 here in the first quarter. Clock is running as they have moved the chains and reset. And now going back to the pass. Oh, hit as he throws, but finds the receiver. And an outstanding diving catch down there. That looked like that was Jude Bertolino, was it?
Jude Bertolino.
Indeed, an outstanding catch all the way down at the 5-yard line. And he really had to flatten out to get to that one. It'll bring up a first and goal for the Toppers, leading 16 to nothing already.
That takes us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone. Powered by Seavers. Score big with Kubota in Auburn and Jerseyville. SeaversEquipment.com.
Spot the ball on the 3-yard line. The ball carrier down at the 1. And that was Dugan who got to the 1 but then got sent back. So that's going to bring up a second and goal for the Toppers from the 1. Good defensive effort there by the Purple Panthers. But the Toppers with two scores in the books already, they're knock, knock, knocking on the door once again. And the triple stacked eye, they go. To the tailback Dugan they go. And to the end zone goes Dugan for his second touchdown of the night. Liam Dugan this time good from 1 yard out. Makes it 22 to nothing, Hillsboro, with a point after attempt coming up, and they made that one look entirely too easy.
Really having a lot of success just running either A gap, B gap, whichever they choose. And, you know, whether it's Jonah Harkins running right up the middle for 10, 11 yards, or Leon Dugan coming off tackle for, you know, as much as he wants. It's a offensive line from Hillsboro doing a nice job.
This time they're going to hand the ball off to the fullback, and that will be Colton Kaiser going in for the two-point conversion. That'll make it 24 to nothing. Back with a Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. They scored one touchdown with their defense, and they have this one well in hand already in the early going, leading the Purple Panthers 24 to nothing as Jordan Gray gets ready to kick off once again. This time it's a higher end-over-end kick. And it's going to be returned out close to the 30. Let's mark it at about the 28. Is on the return that time was Evan Denton, a 5'11", 155-pound junior. Makes a nice run back, giving the Purple Panthers decent field position. They'll start on their own 28. Got to get some offense going here for the Purple Panthers. As points have been at a premium this year. They scored one touchdown against Greenville a couple of weeks ago. And that's the only score of the season. So they need to pick up, first of all, a couple of first downs to get a little bit of confidence. And then maybe spring one for a score. In any event, they will set up and have Colin Becker out wide. Now we've got receivers all over. And another interception at the 32-yard line. And this one is going to be Jake Heffley. As Heffley comes up with the interception on the first play, a little bit underthrown, and Heffley did a good job of getting up there in the air, making the INT on the 33.
Alex Fisher was the intended receiver, had a two-level pass pattern going with Alex Fisher running an out into the flat. The tight end, Nathan White, was running a deep post pattern. Walsh really, I think, wanted to go with the deep ball, but just didn't have time to set his feet and make that long ball. Chose to go to Fisher underneath and just overthrew him a little bit.
And the Toppers, who had their first possession start at the Litchfield 33, their second possession after the interception for the touchdown start at the Litchfield 44, and now with this interception, they'll start at the Litchfield 22. On the first down play, they'll run the right side for short yardage, taking the ball down to about the 19. Let's call it a gain of 3 or 4. Make it second at about 6. from the Litchfield 18. Still 4:44 to go here in the first quarter. 24-0 is the Hillsboro lead. Giving the ball off to Dugan once again, and Dugan just keeps running hard off that right tackle. He skirts to the outside, finds an opening, gets down inside the 10. He's down to the 5 for a gain of 13 and a first and goal for the Toppers from the 5.
And that's inside the Sievers Equipment Red Zone. Powered by Sievers. Mow like a pro with Xmark. Score big at Sievers, SieversEquipment.com.
It's going to mark him inside the 5 at the 4. As he was run out of bounds, the clock will be stopped at 4:33. They'll come back to the line of scrimmage. Colton Kaiser, the fullback, is the up back. Jonah Harkins is in the middle. And Dugan is the third back. As Dugan tries the right side, Alex Fisher is there to bring him down for a minimal gain, if any. They're going to say right at the 4. Let's call it no gain. And second and goal. Fisher with a good job there of knifing in and getting hold of the ball carry. Down to the 4-minute mark we go. Toppers looking over this way as they'll get the play call from the sideline. Now they'll head up to the line of scrimmage. Purple Panther defense digs in as we go inside 4 minutes. He'll go off to Harkins, and Harkins goes in untouched. You talk about creating a wide hole over there on the left side. Harkins went to give somebody a stiff arm, but there was nobody there, and he just kind of gave it the Heisman pose, I guess you could say, as he ran it in for the touchdown.
Gary, I say with great confidence, you or I could have run through that hole and scored a touchdown on that play.
I have no doubt you could have made it. Me, I have my doubts. 3:51 showing on the first quarter clock, and the Toppers are in the end zone again. This time they're going to kick the extra point. As the kick is up, it's high, it's long, and it's good as Jordan Gregg with the PAT, and that makes it 31-0 in favor of Hillsboro. Back with the Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
Really, their offense being very, very efficient. The offensive line, got to give a lot of credit to Landon Malloy, Blaine Gunderson, Finn Tisco, Tanner Mullen, and Baron Floyd. Just doing an outstanding job blocking up front.
It will be Alex Fisher on the run back. Oh, Fisher got tripped up, or he was off to the races. Still an outstanding run back as he caught it inside the 15-yard line and takes it out near the 40. They'll spot it at the 39. And so the Litchfield Purple Panthers trailing here 31-0, seeing if they can't get some offense generated. It was 3 and out. It was 4 and out. And it was an interception on their first play. That's their 3 possessions thus far this evening. 2 wide receivers left, 2 wide receivers right. Aaron Bunch goes over to be the right tackle. And it'll be a quarterback draw. Up over the 40 to the 41 goes Clayton Walsh as he'll pick up a tough 2 and make it 2nd and 8.
Jude Bertolino doing a nice job of just using a good 3 technique at the defensive end. Got good extension with the tackle. Then once he saw where the ball was going, got rid of the blocker, came down the line of scrimmage. Made a really, really good play. That was one that freshman defensive ends, young defensive ends, should be able to see that play. He really did it very, very well.
Excellent technique, excellent result. Now with 2 backs beside him, 1 behind him, Walsh is going to give off to the tailback. That'll be Hartzell again. Hartzell's going to get out to about the 45. 4 tough yards. He's going to bring up a 3rd and still about 4 to go. The Purple Panthers picking up a couple of yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, but they need to get about a yard or 2 more on each play to keep grinding out that offense. Now, once again, they're gambling, trailing 31-0 near midfield, ball resting on the 45. They're going to see if they can pick up their first down of the evening with 2:25 to go here in the first quarter. Pass out in the flat is incomplete, as that was high and outside to Alex Fisher. Tried as he might, he could not get hold of that one. And so the Purple Panthers will give the ball back over to the Toppers. They will take over once again. Oh, they 1, 2, 3. What am I missing? I had first down gain 2 yards, second down gain 4 yards, third down was incomplete. Huh? So we're on fourth down now. That'll work, and they'll still go for it again. So now it'll be a fourth and four for the Purple Panthers. Let's see if they can complete that pass this time. Fourth and four. He's going to run the draw. Oh, back to the line of scrimmage. And that's all the further Walsh is going, as there were huge, huge toppers there ready to make the stop. One of the first, Brett Cunningham, a big 6'2", 235-pound junior. And I mean Walsh went down and went down hard at the 45.
Yeah, once Cunningham made first contact, Jonah Harkins was just a heartbeat behind and really cleaned things up. Would they come down about 3 yards short there from the first down?
Yeah.
About 3 yards short. So look for a second that Walsh maybe was going to be able to get the yardage, yeah. But that hole closed up quick.
That's one of those. I like the call as it transpired, and evidently Cunningham liked it too because he was right there in the right place at the right time. Getting the call is at number 31 for the Toppers. That's Jaken Foster. As Foster gets his first carry of the day, and he's able to pick up a tough couple of yards down to the Litchfield 43, that'll bring up a second and eight.
Jaken's a senior, and he's had some spotty. When we had the game at Vandalia, Jaken got a couple of carries in that game also. A very, very strong, very quick runner. Jaken Foster is a more than ample backup.
They'll go back to the tailback and work the sweep play. This time on a carry, it'll be Noah McCormick. And McCormick is going to get the ball down to about the 30-yard line, and he'll get a first down for the Toppers. Needed 8, picked up 13, first and 10 Toppers. They'll stop the clock while they move the chains. Once they get them set, they'll rewind, and we're down to 90 seconds to go here in the first quarter. First and 10 Toppers, they lead in this one 31-0. They're looking for more. Hand off to the second man, and for the Purple Panthers, Dustin Terrell came in and wrapped him up behind the line of scrimmage for a loss on the play for second and 12.
Bright spot for the Panther defense there. Tackle for a loss. Loss of two. Dustin Terrell came through the line like he owned the thing.
Well, Terrell, a senior, listed at 5'11", 235. When he wraps you up, you're going down.
Yeah, big old boy. Done some wrestling at Litchfield for us, and he's got quick feet.
Brings up a second and 12. They'll go back to the tailback once again and try that right side, as this time it's going to be... Is that
number
9? Noah McCormick on the carry. And he's going to get the ball down to about the 28. So that'll be a gain of 4. It's going to bring up a third and still a long ways to go. Third and 8 from the 28 for the Toppers as we're down to the final 15 seconds of the first quarter. Will they decide to run a play? Yes, they will. They'll give off to the tailback, McCormick. McCormick's going to try the left side. He's going to be wrapped up and thrown down by Jefferson Thomas. As the first quarter is going to come to an end, they'll spot that ball right about at the 28, and that should bring up a punting or a fourth down situation, fourth and about 8 for the Toppers, but that play will not be run off until the second quarter. We've come to the end of the first quarter. Hillsboro 31, Litchfield nothing. Back with quarter number 2. After these messages on WSMI. And they're being streamed on WSMIRadio.com thanks to the folks at Network One Sports. Tomorrow, another busy day, Dan.
As usual, we start off the day at 7:30 with the Spotlight on Sports. That's on FM 106.1. Following at 9:03 live, the WSMI Sports Saturday Show. Fighting Illini football team is going to travel to Wisconsin to take on the Badgers. The live pregame show will begin at 10 o'clock, and that will be on WAOX 105.3, The Ox. The Road to Champaign is going to begin live at 8 o'clock. It's going to be on FM 106.1. It can also be found at WSMIRadio.com for those of you wanting to catch up on the Internet.
As we start the second quarter, the Toppers decide they'll use that double handoff, double reverse. Ended up getting the ball into the hands of Joey Leip, but wrapping him up was Jefferson Thomas. And so on downs, it is the Purple Panthers who hold, and their defense goes off the field. Their offense will come on the field as the Purple Panthers will have the ball on their own 28, perhaps the first bright spot for the Litchfield High School team.
Well, it's really a good series for them anyway. They had the tackle for loss. Jefferson Thomas made a couple of very nice tackles, ending with that play on fourth down. So good series to build on.
They'll go man in motion, will the Purple Panthers, to Alex Fisher. And Fisher's going to get basically back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it, as he's going to be brought down there by Baron Floyd and some help from his friends at the 28, second and 10.
Very similar play. They like to run that. They put Fisher in motion. He plants and comes back the other direction. That's a play that they're getting off the edge anyway. They're getting off the edge and out of the backfield, giving themselves a chance to gain some yards on that.
Now Jefferson Thomas, he'll be the single setback in front of Clayton Walsh. Two wide receivers left, one wide receiver to the right. Walsh looking over the middle. Nobody's there. He's going to circle back. Oh, good block there as he's set up to get a little bit more time. He throws a rainbow pass intended for Alex Fisher, but Fisher can't come down with it. It's out of bounds. But you talk about an awful lot of action on an incompleted pass play. We got it there.
Dylan Maxwell was who peeled back and made that block, kind of giving Clayton Walsh the opportunity to get that ball off. There's some cleats missing out of that topper's shoes, I'm afraid.
It's going to bring up a third and long. The incomplete pass will stop the clock with 10:57 to go till halftime. 31-0 is the Hillsboro lead. Two wide receivers over here to the near side, as Walsh has one back in the backfield with him. He's going to drop back and look, he's under pressure. He's going to go down inside the 25, down on about the 21, as coming up with the tackle, Baron Floyd on the tackle that time for the Toppers, and that's going to bring up fourth and about 18 for Litchfield.
Baron Floyd was who got blocked by Dylan Maxwell in that last play. So Baron was determined to make a good play on that, and he did.
He did. Now the punt is off the side of the foot. It's going to go laterally and out of bounds on the Litchfield 30. That punt will net only about 8 yards, and the Toppers are going to get outstanding field position once again as they've started their possessions on the Litchfield 35, the Litchfield 44, the Litchfield 22, scoring touchdowns on each of those. They started their last possession on the Litchfield 45, and the Panthers' defense stopped them, but they come right back and get the ball back at the Litchfield 30. So another short field with which to work for the Toppers. Dugan's going to be the wide receiver, split out well wide right, and the triple I behind. They're going to give the ball back to the tailback. Is that Lemon out there?
Yeah, Caden
Lemon comes up with the run on that one, and Jefferson Thomas with the stop, but not until Lemon gets the ball all the way down to the 22. Give him a pickup of 8, call it second and 2 for the Toppers.
Lemon has spent most of the night split out at a receiver position with Dugan at the tailback, but now we're looking at reversing that role with Leon Dugan spread out wide and Caden Lemon at the I-back position.
Not often do you have a wide receiver and a tailback interchangeable like this, but they sure are. Lemon with one man to beat, a little juke step, and he walks into the end zone. A 22-yard touchdown for Caden Lemon, and we mentioned going into tonight's game, he's recovering from a bit of a back injury, but you couldn't tell it on that run there. An outstanding move right up the chute, a little juke step left, off to the right, back to the left he went, into the end zone, Caden Lemon. 22-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, Caden's not going to get a lot of opportunities tonight, and it's clear he is going to make the most of every opportunity that he gets. Looked very good on that run straight up the middle, wasn't touched, and put a good move on the safety.
Jordan Gregg will not attempt, as they're going to fake the extra point and try to throw, and that pass will go incomplete. So the extra point is no good, And it is 37-0 Hillsboro over Litchfield at the 9:34 mark of quarter number two. Back with the Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Newkirk, Gary Boker up here in the press box. We got the windows open for the fresh air. We got the heater blowing up from underneath to keep our tootsies warm. And really, you can't ask for much, much better week nine football weather.
Absolutely not. There's not a comfortable set than here at Sawyer Field in their press box. They did a great job of building this thing. It's just the wind is down, the air is cool, and it's just a great night for high school football.
And, of course, one of the things they're going to do here tonight is pay tribute to a fallen hero.
Yeah, young Leighton Piesold lost his battle with leukemia. We had a visitation service at the high school gym on Tuesday. He was laid to rest on Wednesday and just spoke to his father. He went through over 580 pictures of Leighton, and he found two without him smiling. And I thought that was maybe his best tribute a father could give to a son, and just really exemplified the kind of young man that Leighton was, just happy-go-lucky all the time and just
then
a great kid.
When we walked in tonight, what's the first thing we saw as we entered the gate?
Yeah, nice big Piesold Strong banner that Coach Duff had ordered. It would have been nice to have a home game tonight to really pay some tribute to Leighton on our own home field, but the Toppers here are very gracious hosts, and you know, rivalries aside, when you lose a brother, all the brothers come together, and I think that's Coach Duff really exemplifies that.
And I understand there will be a tribute at halftime as an outstanding pass and catch for the Purple Panthers on the first play from the line of scrimmage. Is that number 88 over there?
Colin Becker. Freshman.
The freshman, 5'10", 145 pounds. Colin Becker hooks up that time with his quarterback, Clayton Walsh, and they get the ball from their own 35 all the way down to the 43-yard line of Hillsboro. So don't look now, but the Purple Panthers have a first and 10 and have the ball in Topper territory for the first time tonight. As we say that, Walsh is running for his life, and he's going to take the ball back into Litchfield territory as he's going to be drugged down there on the 46-yard line, and it looked like that was number 36. Harkins comes up with the tackle, so the sacking of the quarterback back to the 46 is going to make it second down and about 19. Second and 19 at the 8:30 mark. Clock is running here in quarter number two. 37-0 is the Hillsboro lead. Purple Panthers, who picked up their first down, are going to have to go a long way to pick up their second one as Walsh was sacked. He is going to go long, trying to run under it. Not quite there. As once again, was that going to Becker? Colin Becker, he had the idea, trying to make the Willie Mays over-the-shoulder catch. Could not quite get the job done. Going to bring up a third and 19, but you got to like that call. You got to like that ball that he threw. Set him out there perfectly.
Clayton Walsh has had a little bit of trouble with the ball coming off his hand. I was almost wondering if the temperature was just cool enough to really start affecting, because a football gets a little slick as it gets cold. But the last two passes that Walsh has thrown have been nice, tight spirals to both to Colin Becker. Colin had a step on Jake Heffley there, just couldn't pull it in.
Well, will the Toppers, they'll bring four on the rush, and it's going to be tough for Walsh to get one off, and he won't, as he's going to be wrapped up and thrown to the ground, and that time it was number 81, Jude Bertolino, in on the stop, all the way back at the 38. So after a first down, now they've been going backwards, and that's going to bring up a fourth and maybe a quarter mile.
Ooh, going to bring in the punt team, and I believe we have a different punter this time. Austin DeWitt with the punt took Jefferson Thomas's place back there. Oh, boy.
DeWitt, who punted to the wrong guy. Lemon, all he had to do was juke step away, and he's off to the races. What will he give him, about 70 yards on that?
It's going to be 70, 72 yards on that return for Caden Lemon.
72 yards Lemon on the punt return. And once again, the Purple Panthers had a couple of things going for them, but once they gave the ball to Caden Lemon, Lemon knew what to do with it as he went down this near sideline, basically untouched, faked the last guy out, went into the end zone for a 72-yard punt return for the touchdown.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm not sure Pac-Man's the guy I want to punt the ball to in this situation, because he is a human video game when he gets the ball in his hands and in the open field like that. Not only, that aside, with a full head of steam, he was running full speed when he got to any tacklers at all.
And Greg with the point after attempt. It's up, and it's good. So Greg tacks on the extra point, and that makes it 44-0 in favor of the Toppers over the Purple Panthers. Back with the Hillsboro kickoff after these messages on WSMI. With the offense, they've scored with the defense, and they've scored with the special teams. Toppers are scoring in almost every way possible. Now they'll kick the ball off down inside the 10. It will go. And the Purple Panthers, who do they have? Is that...
It was Alex Fisher on the return, met by Andrew Law. Andrew Law with a big pop.
Law, indeed, with a good pop there.
Although Alex Fisher kept his legs moving and gained another 5 or 6 yards.
Gets it out to the 35, so once again, not bad field position for the Purple Panthers, as they will have the ball on their own 34?
Looking at the 34-yard line to start. They've not had bad field position, the Panthers. I mean, they've had decent field.
And picking up that first down last time got them into Topper territory, but then the Topper defense, they didn't just stiffen. They came firing like lightning bolts across the line of scrimmage. Now going back to the air, got a receiver off deep, and it's going to be intercepted by Hillsboro. Is underthrown just a little bit. And coming up with the interception for the Toppers was Jace Teakin. So Teakin with the INT.
I believe that's his second interception of the night.
Let's
so far.
See. I had Heffley had
third
one.
Of the season. Number two on the night, number three on the season.
Okay, I knew Heffley had one earlier.
For Jace Teakin.
But Teakin with the interception gives the ball back to the Toppers on their own 40-yard line. What do they say? When it rains, it pours. And that's pretty much what's been happening here this evening. Oh,
boy.
Stumbling at the last second, and that's all that kept number 31, Jacob Foster, from going to the end zone. He instead gets out to the 45 for a gain of 5, second and 5, but right now he's going back to the huddle saying, oh, so close.
There was nothing out here on our side of the field that was going to stop him if he stays on his feet.
Only a clump of grass would be the only opportunity. Foster's going to get the call again, and he's going to go all the way down inside the Litchfield 40 down to the 39. So give him 11 and 5. Give him 16. Give the Toppers the first and 10.
I think the Hillsboro coaching staff liked how Foster almost broke that away. They ran the exact same play to him and still and just about broke it again.
Willman will now be the up back for the Toppers. They'll give the ball off to the second man once again coming through. And that time he's going to be brought down on the play by 59, Dylan Maxwell. Short gain on this one, going to be a gain of 1. Let's call it second and 9 as they'll spot the ball on the Litchfield 38. So Hillsboro getting numerous different backs and receivers into the game. A lot of different players getting some experience tonight. This handoff will go to McCormick. And McCormick's going to get the ball down to about the 35. And coming up on stop will be Alex Fisher for the Purple Panthers. Mark it at the 35. That'll give him a gain of 3. That's going to bring up a third and still about 6. Third and 6 for the Toppers as we hit the 5-10 mark of the second quarter and the clock's running. 44-0 is the Topper lead. Keaton Pruitt, the wide receiver over here, they're going to go with the second back. And that once again is Foster. And Foster's going to be upended there. Coming up on the tackle was Fisher once again. And who else was that in there?
Dylan Maxwell helping Fisher out on that tackle.
Well, mark it at the 34, so we'll give him a gain of 1. Brings up a 4th and 5. And the Topper's going to go for it. Perhaps. And they'll send the quarterback back a little bit deeper. And he's going to do a little squib kick. As the punt is going to go down inside the 10. That keeps the defense honest. You never know whether he's going to pass, whether he's going to run, or whether he's actually going to punt. He'll punt, and the ball will roll dead on about the 10-yard line. So, Litchfield, you were just talking about how they were having good field position to start their drives. Well, this is the worst one of the night, starting from their own 10 with 4:23 to go till half, trailing 44-0.
They had a little bit of success there late in the first quarter, moving the ball a little bit, but here so far in the second quarter, the Topper defense has really did a good job of stepping up and stopping them.
Well, when you've got a big guy like Landon Malloy at 6 foot 260, he's anchoring that nose tackle position, and he's got big Jordan Gregg over there on one side to help him. It's kind of hard to run up the middle. That's what the Purple Panthers will do right here. And Liam Dugan comes up to make a quick stop after about a 3-yard gain by Jefferson Thomas. I'm going to apologize ahead of time, but before the night's over, I know I'm going to call him Jefferson Davis. There's no doubt about it. He's running hard there, but he ran into Dugan, and Dugan showed that when two athletes come together, there's going to be a violent collision. And it brought Thomas down for a gain of 3. Make it 2nd and 7. As Walsh in the pistol will hand it off once again, and I mean the big guy, Landon Malloy, just talking about him, and he came pouring through to make the stop back of the 10 for a loss of 3. That's going to bring up a 3rd and 10. Malloy must have heard his name called because he sure was inspired on that play, wasn't he?
He just came forward. Just came forward and got wide and just ate everything up in his path. They're just a really nice play out of the nose tackle.
As we said, he's 6 foot, 260 pound, a senior. He's been there before. And he enjoys going back to it. Going to bring up a 3rd and 10 for the Purple Panthers. They'll send the man in motion and hand up. Whoa, the ball is dropped. And I believe they're going to say that Fisher recovered, but he'll do so inside the 10, down on about the 7, so that's going to be punt time for the Purple Panthers. And let's find out if Mr. Lemon is going to drop back, and if he does, let's make sure you don't kick it to him, right?
Looks like we got...
I believe they're going to put
Teakin.
Teakin's going to be back. And he's only back on about his own 35. We talked about that breeze coming out of the southwest, but there's not much of an effective wind here this evening. Nice punt there. If the Purple Panthers can get a roll, they do. It's going to roll all the way out to about the 41-yard line, their own 41. And you say, well, that's lousy field position. However, you got to remember, he was punting that one from his end zone.
Oh, he was 3-4 yards deep, so.
Good kick there. About all you can expect out of that, and then some. So now the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, with a 2-6 record on the season, they will scrimmage and they will start from the Litchfield 40-yard line with 2:11 to go. Clock is stopped, still in the first half. Second half, if this score remains, we'll have the running clock. They will go to the second man in the backfield and give the ball off. Is that Teakin again? Or Foster again? Jaken Foster.
Jaken Foster again.
Down to the 31. So he picks up 9 yards. Nice run there as he cut to the left, went off tackle, then sliced back to the middle to pick up 9 let's call it eight, call it second and eight from about the 31. They'll go right back to Foster, and Foster's going to get, I believe, the first down as he's going to get it down to about the 26. Needed a couple, picked up five or six, first and 10 toppers as they'll move the chains down once again. From the Litchfield 26, first and 10 Hillsboro, they lead here 44 to nothing with about 95 seconds to go till halftime. To the second back, they'll go once again. Oh, nice tackle there coming through. That was number 59, Dylan Maxwell for the Purple Panthers back at the 25-yard line. Going to give him a gain of one, call it second and nine, as once again it was Foster on the carry.
That little off tackle to the left play that they're running with Jake and Foster has had a lot of success. I think Dylan Maxwell got tired of them running up through there, and he really came through and filled that alley well and made a great tackle.
Second and nine, looking at the play clock now, is the quarterback, Landon Carroll. Is they're going to milk this with 40 seconds to go. They're down to 5 seconds on the play clock, and they will take a knee with a very sportsmanlike attitude there. The Toppers know that they lead 44 to nothing. They really don't need to add any more. Referee's taking his time. He'll get the ball inside the clock inside 25 seconds. He'll mark it ready for play. We will not have to have another snap until the end of the first half. After two quarters of play, it will be Hillsboro 44, Litchfield nothing. How about some numbers here in the first half, Dan?
Well, for the Toppers, a really balanced running attack. To begin with, Liam Dugan started off the game with 53 yards, and Cade Lemons kicked in 41 yards on just three carries. Norm McCormick with 14. But here in the second quarter, Jenkin Foster has come in with 43 yards on nine carries. Landon Carroll has completed two passes for 33 yards. On the Litchfield side, not a lot of offensive production. The big play, though, was the Clayton Walsh 22-yard play to Colin Becker. And so we are okay. Yeah, here we got right in front of us. They've been selling orange and pink balloons, Gary. We've been listening to that all night. It's going to benefit the Piesold family, and everybody who has purchased those balloons been asked to come down on the field now. They're going to release those balloons. They're also breast cancer awareness. They're also paying tribute to Leighton and the Piesold family. So just a really great thing they're doing over here.
As we observe this touching moment, we'll take this break, and when we come back, now let's listen. You hear that applause? A most fitting tribute, indeed. We are at halftime here at Hillsboro High School. Hillsboro leads Litchfield 44 to nothing. We'll take a break when we come back. Third quarter action on WSMI. Second half about ready to get underway here at Hillsboro High School. Gary Boker, Dan Newkirk up here in the press box, Jen Graham back at the studio. The Toppers with a comfortable 44 to nothing lead here as we start the third quarter. We will have a running clock here in week nine. Jordan Gregg kicks it off. It goes all the way down to about the 5 yard line. Alex Fisher on the run back finds an opening. Looked like, Dan, he was going to be sealed up at about the 20-yard line. Somehow or another, he squirted through there and gets out to about the 35.
Just kept the wheels turning and kept moving through, kept kind of ducked and weaved and weaved and ducked. And next thing you know, he's out around the 35-yard line.
Once again, decent field position for the Litchfield Purple Panthers. They find themselves on the short end of a 44 to nothing score. As we mentioned earlier, they've scored but one touchdown this season. What a good fitting ending would be for them to at least get points here in the final half of the season to build on for next year.
Yeah, just at least to put one more in to finish the season would be a good night, a good way for the Panthers to finish their season.
Drew Hartzell going to get the call on the first down carry. He'll get back to the line of scrimmage. That's going to be about it And Hamby comes up with the tackle on that time for Jackson Hamby, the 5'10", 160-pound sophomore for the Toppers. For no gain on the play, that'll bring up a second and 10. And again, in the pistol formation. Oh, quarterback says, I wanted to throw the ball off here. Looks like there's a different quarterback in there. Was that Blaine Stewart?
Blaine Stewart, the freshman, is back at quarterback. When he got wrapped up, he lost control of the ball. Looks like he's going to turn it over to the Toppers.
Well, that time he was looking to one direction for the handoff, and the running back went the opposite way. And then he kind of got discombobulated as he was trying to recollect himself. He got hit by a Topper, forced the fumble. So Hillsboro will have the ball at the Litchfield 28. Once again, a short field with which to work for the Toppers. That's been the overriding theme of the night.
Toppers out in their traditional triple I, one-man split out with the tight end.
And Landon Carroll's going to roll out. He's going to keep it himself. He's going to be tracked down from behind as he crosses over in front of, inside the 25, down to about the 23. And was that Fisher coming up on the tackle over there?
It was. Landon Carroll got his one play at quarterback and was quickly replaced. That's Jace Teakin coming back in at quarterback. I'm wondering if that's... We just saw Landon Carroll play his last snap at quarterback for the Toppers.
Could very well be. Takes the ball down to about the 23. Going to bring up a second and five for the Toppers. As you said, it will be at the quarterback position, Jace Teakin for the Toppers. He's going to hand off to... It looked like that was Jacob Foster. Foster's going to get the ball down to about the 11-yard line, so that's a gain of 12. It'll be a first and 10 for the Toppers inside the 15-yard line of Litchfield.
That's the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers. X-Mark, score big at Seavers. Mow like a pro, that's Seavers.com.
The ball's on the ground and reaching down to pick it up with Jacob Foster. He didn't make connection on the handoff, but he had the presence of mind to reach down there and pick it up. And he still is able to get a couple yards down to the 9. That's going to bring up a second and about 8. You talk about a heads-up play. Ball laying on there at ground. It's there for anybody. He says, I'll pick it up and see what I can get out of it. Jace Teakin, the 6'3", 175-pound sophomore. He's going to hand the ball off. And it's like on the carry that time, Jacob Foster. Foster is going to carry the ball down inside the 5 to about the 4. Nathan White in on the stop for the Purple Panthers. Going to bring up a third and still about 3. Ball inside the 5. Let's call it the 4-yard line. From the 4. Oh, you talk about being hogtied and brought down quickly. As that time it was Foster who was making the run. Who was that on for Litchfield on the stop there?
Hunter Neiman. Okay. Hunter Neiman making the stop.
Neiman with a good stop there, right in his tracks. It's going to bring up a 4th and 4. Hunter Neiman, a 5'11", 195-pound junior. Toppers trying one more time to get it in the end zone, and they will. As carrying it in will be Jacob Foster. Foster for the touchdown for the Toppers of Hillsboro. That's going to give them an even 50 as the touchdown comes with 6:56 to go here in the third quarter. As Hillsboro has done it again. Foster from 4 yards out.
Jacob getting a lot of congratulations on the sideline here from Topper for getting that score. They worked really hard through the second quarter and into this third quarter to get him into the end zone. So that was a hard-fought team effort getting Jacob in there.
Now the extra point attempt by Greg is up, and it's good. So Greg with his third point after attempt off the foot is good, and that makes our score 51-0 in favor of Hillsboro. We'll be back with the Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Now the kickoff comes nestled down about the 15-yard line. It's going to be picked up there by the Purple Panthers. Who had that ball there?
It was Alex Fisher. He had a little trouble getting it up off the ground.
Yeah.
Once he did, he made the first guy miss and ran into one of his own players coming back towards him, really slowed him down. Otherwise, he might have had a really good return again.
Still gets it out over the 20 to about the 23. Want to remind you, action tonight, and Saturday's going to be busy as well.
Starting off with the Saturday Spotlight on Sports show at 7:30 on 106.1. Coming up after that at 9:03 live is the WSMI Sports Saturday show, also on 106.1. The Fighting Illini traveling to Wisconsin, the live broadcast will begin with the pregame show at 10 o'clock. It's going to be on 105.3 The Ox. Then finally at 8 o'clock, the Road to Champaign. Find out where everybody's playing. The football playoff pairing show will be on WSMI 106.1, also streaming at WSMIRadio.com.
Alex Fisher gets the pitch, and he tries to go around right in. Nothing happening there, as he's going to be tracked down by Jude Bertolino all the way back at the 17-yard line. A loss of 6 going to bring up a second and 16 for the Purple Panthers.
Clayton Walsh is back at the quarterback position. Blaine Stewart's split out here to the right. So they try to get the freshman in there, get him a little bit of experience, and get Clayton back in.
Walsh is going to hand off. On the play is that Fisher?
Alex Fisher.
Fisher getting the ball up over the 30, or up over the 20 to the 23. And he's going to be brought down by Noah McCormick. Back to the original line of scrimmage. Spot the ball at the 23, and it'll bring up a third and 10. Clock running as we're inside the five-minute mark of quarter number three. 51 to nothing is the Hillsboro lead with the apparent victory. They will improve to 3-6 on the season. And, of course, Hillsboro working on a two-game winning streak to end the season. Their two wins, first one came in week three, a 36-6 victory over Roxana. And last week, a 44-0 victory over Southwestern. Tonight, they lead the Purple Panthers 51-0 as we hit the four-minute mark of the third quarter. Third down play loses two, going to bring up a fourth down situation for the Purple Panthers, fourth and 12. And who do they have there to punt? Oh, and Valentine, was it? I believe it was, 78?
Lewis Valentine.
Valentine.
Freshman.
And on the run back, Jace Teakin gets the ball back to the 10-yard line. We have a couple of flags thrown. We'll have to sort those out. And, of course, remind you that tomorrow night we'll have the Road to Champaign show, the preview to determine who are the teams who will make the playoffs in the state of Illinois, who will we have locally, who will they be playing, where will they be playing, and when they will be playing. Well, we may not have all of that information tomorrow night, but we should know who makes the playoffs and what the brackets are by the end of the evening, and that show will come your way at 8 o'clock tomorrow night on WSMI FM 106 and, of course, streamed also on WSMIRadio.com. By Monday, hopefully the principals, athletic directors, powers that be, they will get together and we'll find out what time the game times will be. If in round one it's not too long a trip, a lot of coaches prefer to play on Friday night, stay on the same routine. If, however, it's a 2-3-4 hour journey, and we've seen that happen, that game may be delegated to a Saturday afternoon. We shall see. First things first, we've got to get through week nine here on Friday night. And then we'll set the playoffs up for you Saturday night. The penalty takes the ball all the way back to the 45-yard line of Litchfield. And so the Toppers will start from there, from the 45. On the carry will be number 35, and that's Drew Willman. He's going to be tackled by Nathan White on the play. But he'll get the ball from the Litchfield 45. and take it down to the 30-yard line. A gain of 15, going to bring up another first and 10 for the Toppers. This handoff will go to number 10, Andrew Law. And Law works on that right side, and he picks up a couple of tough yards down to about the 28. And on the tackle was, is that Hunter Neiman?
Number 40, yes, Hunter Neiman making the tackle for the Panthers.
And they'll give him down to about the 28, so we'll call it second and two. Cock continuing to run down to 110 and counting. As again, they'll go up the chute. And there's one, two, three, four, five Purple Panthers in on the tackle. Good group tackling there. That was Drew Willman on the carry. And you name it, the Purple Panthers were there and forced to make that stop for a gain of about three.
Had a whole pack of Panthers on that play.
That'll bring up a third and five from the 25. Clock continuing to run down inside 40 seconds we go in the third quarter. Toppers taking their time. They'll give the ball off to the second back once again. And that will be number 22 for the Toppers. And that's Nate Lee on the carry. In on the tackle, Dylan Maxwell, as well as Nathan White. That's going to be the final play of the third quarter, as it's going to bring up a fourth and five from the Litchfield 25 for the Hillsboro Toppers. After three quarters of play here at Sawyer Field, it is Hillsboro 51, Litchfield nothing. Back with the fourth quarter after these messages on WSMI. The football barrage is over, and we are safe, Dan Newkirk, as he and I are up here in the press box wondering whether these cheerleaders had strong enough arms to get them up here to the press box, and then furthermore wondering, would we be able to catch it? Punting time for the Toppers. They're going to try a little pooch kick, see if they can get to settle down inside the five. Nope, it goes into the end zone, and it will be a touchback. And so Litchfield will take over on the 20. As we are underway here in the fourth quarter with a running clock and a 51-0 lead for the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Hillsboro going to end the season, Dan, with a 3-6 record. Not the kind of record they're accustomed to in Hillsboro, but the fact, I think, that they won the last two games of the season, that's going to bode well for building for the future here at Hillsboro High School.
Absolutely, and a lot of bright spots through the season. We saw a great game over in Gillespie that I really thought came down to a momentum game, and the momentum shifted back to Gillespie at the last minute, but really had a lot of bright spots in the season.
Hartzell throwing the long pass, and interference going to be called on the Toppers at midfield. Paz went on the 20-yard line, so they'll mark it off, and the Toppers will get a first down, and they'll move the chains. And as we were talking about Hillsboro with some positives to build on, I know when you're 0-9 and 0-9 and 0-9 and you've lost 27 in a row or whatever, 28, there's a lot of negatives going on. But a couple of things that I have seen, one, I have been very impressed with the backing the community, the parents and so forth have kept with these kids. They have kept a positive attitude, and that's got to bode well in the future. The other thing I like is the fact that you've got an awful lot of very young men who went through a lot of trials and tribulations and tough times, but they're going to be tougher men because of it next year.
Yeah, a lot of freshmen playing for the Panthers, and to their credit, they've gained numbers. They didn't lose a single kid, not a kid quit. They picked up a couple of kids early in the season to bump their numbers a little bit, so there's some future moving forward.
And as you see right here, we're into the final 9 minutes of the season. They're running a toss sweep around right in and running it hard on that play. Alex Fisher, 5'7", 165-pound senior, maybe getting in his last calls ever in high school football or football at all for that perhaps. And he was running hard with a good 3-yard pickup out to the 38, brings up a second and seven.
Alex Fisher being the one senior on the team who's been all the way through the junior football league, fifth grade through eighth grade, and has been out for the team all 4 years in high school, too, the one senior. So it's fitting that he's getting a lot of carries here and getting to finish off the season for the Panthers.
One word you got to attach to that young man is courage. He has played with a lot of courage, and, of course, a lot of times the deck hasn't been stacked in his favor, but it's never affected him nor the way he plays.
Playing hard all the time. He was an up-and-coming half-miler for us last year as a junior and in track and field, and I'm really looking forward to a good season out of him this season with a good preseason of middle-distance training, and I'm really hopeful that he'll have a great senior year.
Indeed, has matured not only as a football player but as a trackster as well and as a young student athlete at Litchfield High School. Brings up a third and short. We're going to run the option, and the pitch is made. And on the carry is going to be Alex Fisher, and I believe he's going to be brought down just short. Coming up on the stop was Jace Teakin for the Toppers. They'll spot him at the 44.5, and he's got to get to the 45. So that's going to bring up a fourth and one. Now, here's the situation. Do you try to run at the interior of this Topper defense, which has been like a stone wall, or do you try to scoot up the outside, or do you do what most coaches will do? Let's call a timeout. Let's talk it over. As they take a timeout, we will too. You're listening to WSMI. And last game of the year, no sense of keeping the items on hand for next year, so they're tossing them into the crowd. And so far, we've been sitting too far away, Dan.
Yeah, they're not getting quite up here. I tell you what, there's been a couple of those girls that launched the ball close up to these top couple of rows, but the cheerleaders are having a lot of fun and passing out a lot of things to a lot of souvenirs to the fans. The young kids are really excited, getting some fun stuff. So
I mentioned coming over here tonight with neither team having a chance for the playoffs. It kind of reminds me of old school football back in the day when you knew that on week 9 that was your final game of the season. You just went out and laid it on the line, and I think both teams have done just that tonight. Fourth and short, and the Purple Panthers are going to run a quarterback sneak, and they're going to get the first down. Travis Kane, a 5'10", 175-pound sophomore, comes up with the stop, but not until the Purple Panthers come up with that first down. Was that Blake Stewart in there at quarterback that time? Or
Clayton Walsh
back. To Walsh in
To Clayton Walsh back. And picking Walsh up the first down. We're trying to working on getting in Topper territory here. Yeah, 7:37 mark. Looking for just one more score. Looking for one more touchdown to finish off the season.
They'll send Blaine Stewart out wide to the far side, up under center, giving it off to the tailback. And that is Alex Fisher. Fisher gets across midfield line, and he's going to be brought down. It's like number 83 out there. That's Blake Clark, a 5'9", 140-pound junior for the Toppers, as he'll make the stop at the Hillsboro 48-yard line. It's going to bring up a second and about five as the clock continuing to run. We're inside 7 minutes. As Walsh up under center gives it back to that tailback once again. Running hard. Oh, good popping of the pads there. But a nice run by Alex Fisher. Fisher gets the ball down inside the 40 to the Hillsboro 36. Going to be enough for another first down for the Purple Panthers. They are striving to get that elusive second touchdown of the season. One thing I want you to notice, Dan, if you look over on the far side, the Topper fans, not a one has left. Everyone has been there all night.
Panther fans,
not a one of them have left over there on the far side. And that's what I was talking about, the dedication and support from the community that this team has gotten all season long. They'll give the ball off to on the inside. This one is going to go to Drew Hartzell, and Hartzell gets all the way down inside the 10 to about the 9-yard line. What an outstanding run by Drew Hartzell. 5'4", and that's not exaggerating, 5'4", 160-pound freshman, as he gets the ball down inside the 10-yard line. Dan, we haven't had an opportunity to say this a lot about the Purple Panthers.
The Panthers are in the Seavers Equipment Red Zone. Score big with JCB at Seavers Equipment. That's SeaversEquipment.com.
It's first and goal, but now the Topper's going to bring the first team defense in. Does no good, as at the 5:16 mark, what do we see, Mr. Newkirk?
We got touchdown Purple Panthers.
That was Drew Hartzell. And we talked about the positive things that have come out of this season for the Toppers and the improvement that they've made. And that's got to be a huge shot in the arm for the Litchfield Purple Panthers. I know there's a couple of announcers up here that are kind of excited. One perhaps a little more than the other.
Pretty excited. That's pretty excited. It's been a long year for the guys in purple and white. And to put one in here before the end of the season, you know, and it weren't the, they got a nice applause from the Hillsboro crowd. I think they appreciate the season these guys have had, and scoring one more touchdown means a lot to them.
So Hartzell scores the touchdown, and now Fisher does the same thing going around the right end for the touchdown. So Hartzell, give him the touchdown for the Purple Panthers. It comes with 5:15 to go here in the fourth quarter. I know on the one hand that the Toppers would have liked to pitch the shutout, but I don't think that is as important to them as scoring a touchdown was for the Purple Panthers of Litchfield.
Right, absolutely. And that's the guys are jogging out the field for the kickoff team now. We've not had a lot of kickoffs this year, just being the tough situation they've been in. So just a great way, again, as clocks stopped at the 5:15 mark for the score. We rolled down in this last fight. Probably, I think this would be the last time the clock stops, I think maybe perhaps in the game. So just a good way to finish the season for the guys in purple and white.
And the thing of it is, with Hartzell, you had a freshman who scored the touchdown in the final game of the year, and you had Fisher, a senior, who gets to get the final 2 points perhaps for the Purple Panthers. As now the kickoff is being returned by Hillsboro, and it's going to go all the way down to the Litchfield 40-yard line. Hartzell does the job on the tackle. Who was on the run there?
It was Jonah Harkins.
Harkins.
Usually that middle back and their starting I backfield. We don't call Jonah's name a lot on kick returns. Usually Caden Lemon's the one to get it, but he made the most of his opportunity, taking it all the way down across midfield to the 40-yard line.
So that Litchfield score was an 80-yard drive. It started on their own 20. It took them 9 plays to make the touchdown, their first since playing against Greenville. And now on the carry is Brock Bellaver, number 23, 6'2", 160-pound.
I believe we got some freshmen out there now, Gary. So we're going to have to go to our secondary roster here.
Oh, okay.
And look at some of these freshman numbers.
Okay,
the freshman team,
23.
All black pants with orange piping down the side.
That would be Joseph Kaiser then on the carry. And now they're going to give it off to the second back for the Toppers. And that will be Austin Edwards on the carry.
Got Alex Fisher on the tackle on that play.
We're down to 3:30 and counting. This is a good gesture on the part of both teams here, of course, allowing your freshmen to get in on the action and be a part of the final varsity game of the season, something they will take with them. Garrett Shockey is going to be the wide receiver over to the other side. He'll come back into a tight wing position. They'll give the ball off to the tailback. And Dustin Terrell is going to come up with the stop. Who was that on the carry?
23, I think
Kaiser
that's again. Kaiser again, yeah.
Joseph Kaiser on the carry. Terrell on the stop. Ball spotted at the 40-yard line. And that's going to bring up a 4th and 10 for the Hillsboro freshman. I think the coaches right now are wanting to let the play clock run down a little bit. They're in no hurry. We talked to both coaches before the game, and you can tell they're both fierce competitors, but they're both great friends, and they're both great sportsmen. Neither one wants to embarrass the other team, and that's the way it is. Going to be a delay of game call on the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Rather than take a timeout to stop the clock, he'll take the delay of game, back him up 5 yards, but the clock continues to run. Another show of sportsmanship.
Hey, Juan, I wonder what was going to happen here. Generally, at that home game, you get a chance to get your seniors on the field and take them off, and that's what the Toppers have done. They've got their seniors out there right now.
Well, you do know with the running clock, they don't even need to snap the ball. They can take a delay of game. Clock keeps running, but they will. They'll give the ball back to the Purple Panthers. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. It's free on the ground, and it looks like the Purple Panthers did finally cover it up, but that thing was squirting around like a greased pig there for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
Like Levi King.
Levi King recovered. Nathan White took a little bit of a pop there as he was trying to catch that ball, and luckily Levi King scooped it up and took care of it.
Okay, now if you want to see what kind of arm your quarterback is with a minute 20 to go, air it out if you wish. Notice that breeze that we had coming out of the southwest early, it has died down. It's a very calm evening. Wide receiver heading over to the far side is Blaine Stewart, a freshman. Wide receiver over to this side is Nathan White, a senior. Going back to pass is Clayton Walsh. Walsh is not going to get this one off, as he's going to be swarmed under by a host of Toppers. Tyler Loscott was one of them who was there. And they're going to allow the seniors to come off. Get one final round of applause. And be assured that they will walk off this field for the last time this year in a victory mode. As now there will be timeout called on the field with 28 seconds to go. And Litchfield will have a second and 20. We'll take a break and be back with a conclusion of tonight's game after these messages on WSMI. Following the timeout, we'll go for maybe one final play. They'll run a running play up the middle, will the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And that's going to do it. Our final score is going to be Hillsboro 51, Litchfield 8. Dan, some final thoughts about tonight's game.
Well, just a lot of class, I think. We've talked about it before. It's not very often that both teams are not looking at any kind of a playoff implication, and they just came into this with showing a lot of class and a lot of respect for the two communities. They had Breast Cancer Awareness Night, which they included in the Piesold family with the loss of their son in the past week. So just a really enjoyable night of football all around.
Not only were the athletes competing, but the crowd as well got involved not only in the festivities of a high school football game, but also in honoring and showing respect and condolences for the family who've lost not only a loved one, but as you said, a guy who was an outstanding student, an outstanding athlete, and an even better person.
Had a wonderful opportunity to have a little talk with his dad at the visitation, and Doug said they went through over 580 pictures, and in the process of that, they found only two in which Layton didn't have a smile on his face. And I think that really could not be a better way to explain what Layton Piesold was like. Just an outstanding young man, great friend and good teammate. Not to mention, not a bad football player.
And, of course, in his final days, weeks, and months, an outstanding battler.
Oh, and he did. And he just fought and fought and fought. And that he finally is at rest is a great comfort to the community of Litchfield, to his family. But it's just such a hard thing, losing a 19-year-old young man.
And Blake Stewart is going to fake punt, run around in. Time's going to run out as he runs out of bounds at the 40-yard line. And so that's going to bring a conclusion to this regular season broadcast from WSMI. Hope you enjoyed our first game of the night, the Carlinville Vandalia game. And, of course, this game not so close on the scoreboard, but nonetheless a very good competitive effort by both teams, who shake hands at midfield now as they cross. Our final score is Hillsboro 51, Litchfield 8. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of our sponsors for making these high school football broadcasts possible. Of course, thanks goes back to the studio to Jen Graham. And, of course, thanks to all of you fans for listening in. For Dan Newkirk, this is Gary Boker. One final time, our final score, Hillsboro 51, Litchfield 8. So long from the gridiron.